Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Man, are you thankful for the blood of Jesus? Are you thankful for the blood of Jesus? When you think back over your life and how many times you have sinned against the Lord and how we've let Him down and how we have disappointed Him, and yet the blood never loses its power. God has been so good and so gracious to all of us. And I want to talk to you about a very sobering subject this morning. The title of the message is A Lifestyle That Leads to Hell. And you know, hell has vanished from our pulpits. You don't hear any sermons on hell anymore. Not very often. But as providence would have it, we're moving through the book of Ephesians verse by verse. And see, when you preach that way, you come under topics and issues that a lot of folks don't want to deal with. So we're going to deal with this today. Amen, church? Amen. So be finding Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 17, 18, and 19 this morning by the grace of Almighty God. And so when you find Ephesians 4, 17 through 18, let's honor God's word by standing to our feet, shall we? This is where we wind up here in the book of Ephesians as we're moving through this verse by verse. Verse 17, chapter 4. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Billy and Carol, we're so glad to have y'all back. And Billy, the best day's work you did was getting that little lady to say amen. And Carol, ask God to bless the word today, would you, sister?
Dear Heavenly Father, we just come together before you and lift you up. And I just pray that you will be with Cal as he brings that message. I pray that you'll open our hearts.
Help us. Thank you, sweet sister. This morning we're talking about walking worthy of our calling. Walking worthy of our calling. And you know, there's a certain way that lost people live. And there's a certain way a saved person ought to live. I mean, brothers and sisters, our lifestyle ought to be different from the rest of the world. Now, I'm not telling you to go out here and act like a nerd, okay? Not telling you we need to be weird and all that. But we ought to live our lives differently than the way the rest of the world lives. Can I get a witness in here this morning? Now, if you're born again, you've been radically saved. And so we ought to be radically different. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And so look at your neighbor and say, you're a new creature. The creature feature, yeah. Okay, so what we're looking at in verses 17, 18, and 19 in Ephesians 4 this morning are simply this. It gives the detailed description of the lifestyle of someone who's going to hell. This is not something I like talking about, like preaching about, but it's something that's very needed in the pulpits all across America today. If you have any doubts about where you're going to spend eternity this morning, I pray that the message of God would so burden your heart that you would, it would become real clear for you. Y'all do know there are millions of lost people on our church rolls. Millions of lost folks on our church rolls in this nation. Just because you're a church member doesn't mean you're born again. Just because you've been baptized doesn't mean you've been born again. Just because you belong to a certain group or you do this or you do that does not mean you've been born again. We're going to look at the lifestyle that leads to hell this morning. And I've been praying that God would set somebody free. Maybe online, maybe in here. So we've got a summary statement here in verse 17, a summary statement concerning the lifestyle of a lost person. I want you to look at verse 17. He says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk." Here it is, in the futility of their mind. This is a great description of the mind of a lost person. Your King James Bible, I'm reading out of the New King James, but this translation uses the word futile. Your King James Bible, I think, says vanity, does it not? And the word vanity means without purpose, without meaning, no direction. The devotionals I've been doing on Mondays and Tuesdays and Thursday mornings, we've been moving through the book of Ecclesiastes. Solomon wrote a book about vanity. And what I've been reminded of again is that the book of Ecclesiastes is a description of a life lived outside of Christ. And a life that's lived outside of Christ is empty, it's meaningless, there's no direction to it. Have mercy. It's vanity. And a life of vanity leads somewhere, it leads to hell. What does a lifestyle look like that leads to hell? I'm so glad you asked. A lifestyle that leads to hell, first of all, is characterized by mental darkness. Say that with me. Mental darkness. Did you catch that there in verse 18? Having their understanding darkened. A lot of our problems begin right in here, in the mind. Some people, you know, there are several groups of people when it comes to thinking, T-H-I-N-K-I-N-G. Some people don't think at all. Did you know that? Their life is just on autopilot. They get up in the morning, they eat breakfast, then they go get cleaned up, bless God, and get their clothes on, and then get in the car and head to work, work 8 or 9 hours, come back, have supper, sit down, relax, watch TV, get on the internet, whatever, then go to bed, and they get up and do it all over again, and they think very little. Their life is on autopilot. There's another group of folks, and they do a little thinking, but they're consumed about one thing that they think about all the time. It may be their job. It may be some athletic team. It may be some sports, some kind of politics. That's all they think about. They're consumed with that, and they just think about one thing. And then there are others that don't want to think at all, and so they self-medicate. Y'all understand what I'm saying? They get wasted so they won't have to think about some things. And then there's another group of folks, they want somebody else to think for them. You know, if a preacher, a pastor, in a worship service can just get people to slow down and think, really begin to think about things that matter most for 15 or 20 minutes, every now and then somebody will get saved. I know this to be true. I believe many people, if they would really stop and think about what matters most, would turn their life over to Jesus Christ. This has come true for me over and over again, talking to people, just running into people and witnessing to people and saying something like, do you ever think about where you'll spend eternity if you were to die today? And you know what the vast majority of people tell me? I've never thought about that. We don't like thinking about that, do we? But if you're born again, you obviously had to start thinking about that which matters most in life. And so why is that? Why do people not? Because their understanding has been darkened. That's what verse 18, having their understanding darkened. They don't think right. You know, our minds, our brains have been altered, damaged, marred, maimed, corrupted by sin. Ever since the Garden of Eden, our minds have been darkened. Our understanding has been darkened. And from that point in time on, now this is why you've got these brilliant people in the world from yesterday and today, brilliant people in the world, and yet they're hostile to holy things. I'm talking about men like Sigmund Freud, men like Darwin, men like Einstein, Stephen Hawking, folks that are the world would consider brilliant, but they're dumber than a sack of rocks when it comes to things which matter most. Y'all understand what I'm saying? That's because their minds have been darkened. Their understanding is darkened. That's why so many people today have been deceived by evolution. You know, it takes more faith to believe in evolution than it does in creationism. Hello? Our minds, our understanding has been darkened. That explains why people today are falling prey to communism and Marxism and socialism and all these other isms. Because our minds have been darkened. Our understanding has been darkened. That's why some people believe you can die and come back and be a cow or a cockroach. There's a religious group out there today that says you can wind up being your own God and you can populate your own planet. Yeah. Our minds have been darkened, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in us. I want to read to you. There's a sister passage to Ephesians 4, 17, 18, and 19. And it's over in the great book of Romans. Romans chapter 1. I want you to read. This sounds so familiar to what we've just read. It's over in Romans chapter 1. And let me start reading there at verse 19. Romans 1, 19. I'll give you a second. Sounds like some of you are with me. All right. Because of Romans 1:19, because of what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. Shown what to them? For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You see, everyone is without excuse. God has made himself manifest to everyone ever born through creation, through our conscience, and later on through the cross. And so everybody's without excuse. God has made himself known. Verse 21, now here it is. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became, here it is, futile in their thoughts. That's that word vanity. And their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Say, oh me. What is the answer to mental darkness? What is the answer to someone's mind having been darkened? Well, it's 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, the light of the gospel is the only hope for those minds who have been blinded by the gods, little g, of this world. What lost people need is the light of the gospel. What lost people need is to have their darkened minds enlightened by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They need the light. They need the light. They've got to have the light. You see, in order to get out of darkness, you've got to be ushered into the light. And that's what we're trying to do here down at Second Mile Church. We're trying to get the light to shine out here in this community. That's why we had all these bags back here, clothing for all these kids out at Kenwood. I was so thankful for our people who gave and supported, passed out. We gave out 104 backpacks filled with school supplies. We packed up and bought enough clothes. We delivered those bags to those families day before. Well, I guess it was yesterday. Praise God. We're trying to get the light of the gospel out into our community so that lost sinners might be saved. You do know that is their only hope. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. We've got to get the light of the gospel to a lost and dying world. Their minds have been darkened. Their understanding is darkened. They don't get it. So, a lifestyle that leads to hell is first of all characterized by mental darkness, but secondly, it's characterized by what I call emotional hardness. Look again at verse 18. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling. Now, we know that, you know, it's the blindness of heart. A heart's not blind because a heart doesn't see. A beating, right? We did serve coffee down here this morning. Y'all, stay with me here now. We're going somewhere with this. The word blindness means hardness. It really is presenting, this word is presenting the picture of a stone that is so hard it becomes petrified. You see, sin petrifies the heart. Y'all know what I'm talking about here. Every time you sin, you get a little bit harder. Your heart grows a little bit harder towards sin. The best example of this that I can think of in the Old Testament is old Pharaoh. You remember? Time and time again, he saw the signs of God. He heard the word of God. And yet he kept saying no to the signs and the word of God. And every time the Bible says that his heart grew harder and harder and harder. A lifestyle that leads to hell is characterized by emotional hardness. You remember the first time you ever told a lie? Don't answer that. But you know, the first time I ever told a lie, I remember it, believe it or not, because it tore me all to pieces. It did. I was distressed about it. I was sad. It just got to me. But you know what? I told that same lie a second time. And then once you tell that same lie a third and a fourth, and by the time you've told that lie 10 times, guess what? You even believe the lie yourself. Right? And so that's, y'all don't sit out here and look all sanctimonious at me now. But that's what sin does. It hardens your heart to the things of God. And I was talking with a young man here in Clarksville a couple years ago. He was about 22, 23 years old, and he'd been getting drunk since he was 14. And he told me, he said, Cal, I remember the first time I got drunk, he said, I felt terrible about it. He said, I knew it was wrong. I knew I shouldn't be doing it. And he said, but you know what? I went out with my friends again that next Friday night, and I got drunk again. And we're still running around and getting drunk. And he said, now I'm drunk. I'm an alcoholic. You see, that's what happens, folks. Our hearts get hard, you know, and if you're here this morning and you're committing some sin and it doesn't bother you, oh, have mercy. have mercy on your soul. And then it's like this thing that we talk, we're not supposed to talk about sex in church. If we can't talk about sex here, where can we? But a young boy, a young girl will commit the sin of fornication, sex outside of marriage, or extramarital sex, adultery, and the first time, and then we'll feel nasty and gross and embarrassed and dirty and shamed, right? And then the next time, it gets a little easier. And the next time, and then on and on and on until finally, that's your lifestyle. You're practicing that kind of lifestyle, a lifestyle of fornication and a lifestyle of adultery. And friend, when sin doesn't bother you anymore, you are on very dangerous ground. The fires of hell are already leaping at your feet. And the demons are grinning and they are giggling. They can't wait. Oh, here we go. We got us another one. Emotional hardness, mental darkness are the signs of a lifestyle that leads to hell. Here's the one I wanted to get to, though. It's in verse 19. A lifestyle that leads to hell is characterized by mental darkness, emotional hardness, and then finally, moral deadness. Morally dead. Look at verse 19. Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness. That word lewd, we don't use the word lewd anymore, but that means unhindered lust. Okay? Unhindered lust. To work all uncleanness, y'all understand what that word means, right? And with greediness. Lost people get to the point in their lifestyle of being just morally dead. They have very little remorse, very little shame about their sin. They've given themselves over. That's a key word there in verse 19. Giving themselves over to these sins. Doesn't that sound like Romans chapter 1? Let me go back there one more time. Listen to this, y'all. Verse 24 out of Romans chapter 1. Just listen. Romans chapter 1 verse 24. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness. Oh, there's a familiar word we just read. Also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their heart to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Verse 26. For this reason, God gave them up. Second time. God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. Jump down to verse 32. Who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. This is exactly what Paul's saying here in Ephesians 4:19. If you keep giving yourself over to some type of sin, then God eventually turns you over to that sin and all that comes with it. God basically is saying, okay, if that's what you insist on, then you can have your sin and deal with the consequences. That's exactly what's happened in our nation. It's exactly what's happened in our country. And I'm so thankful you young people are here to hear this today. You won't hear it very often, but this is truth that's going to protect you. Sin that used to slink down the back alleys of America now proudly strut up Main Street. Are y'all with me? And we not only practice this stuff, we promote it. That is a nation that has been given over by God to their own sin. And that's where we are as a country, as a nation. I'm telling y'all the, the gospel truth today. Every time I run across passages like this, man, my heart just begins to burn because I understand where we are. My mind's not darkened, and yours isn't either, if you're a born-again child of God. And you cannot continue to grow harder and harder and harder towards sin. Because folks out here are lost. They're dead in trespasses and sins, and they've given themselves over to lewdness, unhindered lust, uncleanness and greed. They're going to hell. And I want to tell you, anybody who can practice sin without any remorse is lost as a golf ball in high weeds. Hello? Now, I've asked Ellen to put these verses up here on the screen. We're gonna wind up here with these verses, okay? Y'all with me? You might want to write them down if you've got a pen or a pencil, because you need to take a look at these later on. But the first one I wanted us to see is 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites. I didn't write this. God did. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Now listen to this. Listen to what Paul says to the church in Corinth. He said, and such were some of you. Such were some of you. But you were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Isn't that a great verse? Whoo, mercy. Galatians 5. Is the next one, 19 through 21. Galatians 5, 19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness. Heard that before? Idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, here it is, that those who practice, and I'm talking about one incident here, another incident there, and another incident, we're talking about those who practice, it's the pattern of their life, such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And now, throw up Ephesians 5, verses 4 and 5, Ellen. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. There's others. Revelation 21 and verse 8. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, whoo, shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I preach a message called Liar, Liar, Pants on Fire. Does that not just strike a chord in your soul? Because I've got family members, you've got family members who are morally dead, and they're on their way to hell unless they get the light of the gospel. I was once one of those people headed to hell. But the good news, I promised y'all I'll never leave you bleeding. And it has just been a, all week as I've been studying, man, it has burdened me. You can't preach on hell without tears in your eyes. If you really love people, the good news is that the gospel of Jesus Christ offers light for darkness, love for hardness, and life for death. Y'all didn't get it. Let me tell y'all over here. The gospel of Jesus Christ offers light for darkness, love for hardness, and life for death. Have y'all been saved so long you've forgotten what it was like? Have mercy. We got to get the gospel to people, brothers and sisters. That's why we're here. That's why they didn't say, Scotty, beam him up when you got saved. That's why we're here. That's what we're supposed to be doing. You know, I mentioned a minute ago about all of the lost people that we have on our church rolls. We've got millions of them. Baptist life, Methodist life, Presbyterian life. We got millions of them. Because you see, a lifestyle that is characterized by mental darkness, emotional hardness, and moral deadness is a lifestyle that's taken many of our loved ones and friends to hell. I remember Brother John David Lida at Montgomery Bell State Park. I was 9 years old. I was at church camp, and he was down by the lakeside, and I was standing on the dock, and he was preaching on the prodigal son. And I thought, my goodness, he's talking about me. I was the prodigal son. And the Bible says that the prodigal son wound up in pig slop, in a pigsty. There's no worse place for a Jewish man to be. And while he was in the middle of that slop with those pigs, the Bible says he came to himself. And he said, I'm going to get up from here and go back to my father. And that son got up and went home with a repentant spirit. And you remember how the father received him? He embraced him. He hugged him. He kissed him. He put a robe on him. He put a ring on his finger. He put sandals on his feet. And he killed the fatted calf and struck up the band. And they had a party. Because this man, his son, who was once lost, had now been found. Who was dead and now had life. You may be here today. And I want to tell you, if you don't know where you are spiritually, God sent me here today to tell you, if you'd be willing to turn from your sin, that you'd be under conviction about your sin, that it's bothering you, it's tearing you all to pieces, if you'd just be willing to agree with God about your sin and place all your trust and faith in Christ, who paid the price for your sin as your only means of salvation. How do I do that? Bible just says by calling on him to save you. Just call on him. If you'll do that, God will enlighten your mind. And when you do sin, you'll be under conviction about it. So much so that you'll want to get away from it and not go back there again. Not going to be perfect. But you're going to begin to grow and look more and more like Jesus. And the best thing is, you'll no longer be morally dead, but you'll be alive in Christ Jesus. I don't know who I'm talking to here today, but let's bow our heads and let's let the Spirit of God do what He wants to do here this morning. Father, I'm just so burdened this morning for family members who have been deceived by the evil one, and their understanding has been darkened. I'm so burdened about many of my friends, and there seems to be very little remorse or sadness about personal sin in their life. And I'm so grieved, God, over my hometown. So many are morally dead. They have no understanding of the Christian life. They can't, because they need to be born again. And Father, would you help us to shine the gospel light of your Son and our Savior? And if there is someone here or watching online, I pray that right now they would give their heart and life to Christ. They would turn from their sin, admit to God who they are, and turn from it, and by faith turn to Jesus Christ and surrender to Him as their only means, as their only way of salvation, by calling on Him. Oh God, would you do that here today for someone? With every head bowed and every eye closed, I don't always do this, but if you need Christ today, I want you to just slip your hand up in the air. Just slip your hand straight up in the air. Everybody, nobody's looking around, just me. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Anybody need to pray to receive Christ today? Anybody? All right, let me ask you a second question. How many of you have a family member that's lost today? Slip your hand way up in the air. Hands all over the building. Lost family members. May God help us. Would you partner with me today to do everything that you can to bring the light of Jesus Christ into their life? Father, help us today as we respond in faith. Whatever you're calling us to do, whether we need to come pray, whether we need to leave here today and go directly to that loved one and share these scriptures with them that they've been trusting in the wrong thing. Oh God, help us to be instruments of your love. And we've got to share the truth in love. We can't beat somebody upside the head with the truth. Help us, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.